Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation of the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 1, 2017, or as they did 5, 2021. We will start our second service on this Sabbath day with a song and a title. In a little while, we're going home. Let us sing a song that the cheerest bows away. In a little hope of going home, for the night will end in the everlasting day, and I live while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last with the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. In the grace of Yah, with our daily strength renew. A little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. We will smooth the path for some weary wayworn feet. In a little while we're going home. May loving hearts spread around an influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. The rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in the city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Part 14, Righteousness by Faith. We're going to continue until we get through with our series. Acts chapter 17. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came. Acts chapter 24. And after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and with a certain orator named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Seeing that by three we enjoy great quietness, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that Very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now remember, Yeshua was a Nazarene, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. Notice it says according to our law. But the chief captain, Lysias, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands, commanding his accuser to come unto thee by examining, of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things, whereof we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, saying that these things were so. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up unto Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither rising up the people, or raising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And I have hope toward Yahweh, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And that herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward Elohim and toward men. Now, after many years I came to bring alms unto my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee, and object if they had aught against me, or else let these same hearsay, if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in the Yeshua, the Messiah. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener, and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Okay, that's the end of chapter 24 of Acts. Now we're going to fast forward to Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of the Yeshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of the Yahweh, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yeshua of righteousness, or Yeshua, our Messiah, our Yeshua. So let's read that again. Verse 3. Concern his son, Yeshua, the Messiah, our Savior, which was made of the seed of David according unto the flesh. Okay, now, we sitting here today, Elijah David knows that I was made of the seed of David. Genealogically connected up to the seed of David. This is quite an awesome, awesome knowledge and calling. Romans 1:4, and declared to be the son of the Yahweh with power. Now this is interesting. This word power, we need to deal with that more often, more fully, according unto the spirit of holiness. The power only works with the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience unto the faith among all nations for his name. And that name is Yeshua. And the key words is obedience, obedience. Among whom are ye also the call of Yeshua Messiah. To all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints, grace unto you, and peace from Elohim our Father, and the Savior Yeshua Messiah. First I thank my Elohim to Yeshua Messiah for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve within my spirit, and in the gospel, or in the practice of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yahweh to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, unto the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was hitherto let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am indebted both unto the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Yahshua, for it is the power of Yahweh unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, Messiah. Yahweh's wrath against sin. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men. It's got the word ungodliness, and then it's got the word unrighteousness. And there's really no need for both of them. Since godliness is a pagan terminology, that God in it. So we can just read that again, verse 18. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from the heaven against all unrighteousness of men. That's all it's necessary to say. Who hold the truth in the unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of the Father is manifest in them. For the Father has showed it unto them. Okay, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto his eternal power and Yahwehhood, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Yahweh, they glorified him not as Yahweh, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Yahweh into an image made like unto the corruptible man and to the birds, and a four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore Yahweh also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Hallelujah. For this cause Yahweh gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over unto the reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of the evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of the death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Chapter 2, Romans. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of Yahweh is according unto the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yahweh? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leadeth thee unto repentance? But as to thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, who will render unto every man according unto his deeds. Unto them who by the patient continuance and will are doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, there's that word truth again, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace unto every man that worketh good unto the Jew first and also unto the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons but the Father, Yahweh, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these have not the law or a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when the Yahweh shall judge the secrets of men by his son Yahshua the Messiah, according unto my teaching of the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. I added all of that in the place of the one word, gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of the Yahweh, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in the darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of the babes, which hath the form of the knowledge, and of the truth. This word truth, I'm going to do a whole series on that one word, truth. Here I've discovered it already three times in chapter 2 of Romans. The word truth. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? That thou preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou Elohim? For the name of the Yahweh is blasphemed. There it is. The name of the Yahweh is blasphemed. How is it blasphemed? They call him by a Greek pagan god's title. They call him God of this world. Well, they call Baal the god of this world. The Pope calls himself the god of this world. Let's go on. For the name of the Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, he's talking to the Romans. These Romans are Gentiles. And he's telling them, for the name of the Father, Yahweh, Elohim, is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. Now, that through is a preposition. You is a pronoun. Okay. So, I added the definite article the. And I will. For the name of the Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles through, you would then conserve as an article. Well, it's not really. Through the you. Through the you. As it is written. For circumcision really profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now they tell me that when they talk about our senators and congressmen at Washington, D.C., they call them the lawmakers. But in truth, they're not lawmakers at all. How do you make law? There's only one set of laws that's been made ever for the universe and this world, and Yahweh made them in the beginning. Now, how do you make new laws? No. You make new rulings, but not new law. They call these congressmen lawmakers. But every time that they open their mouth, they're figuring out how to be a lawbreaker. And they're continuous lawbreakers because there's not a one of them up there keeps the Sabbath or the law of Moses. So they're automatically, the whole world are guilty. They are lawbreakers. So our lawmakers, which is nothing but regulation makers and rule makers, rule of the law is what they call it. Now let's go on. Verse 26, Romans chapter 2. Therefore, if the uncircumcision... So, Paul could have very well said, if the Gentiles that are not circumcised in the truth, he's using that word truth a lot there, I just added it, keep the righteousness of the law, so if the Gentiles that hasn't been set aside for the leaders and rulers in the kingdom, they'd have to be put over the Israelites if they were, if that's impossible. Therefore, if the uncircumcision Gentiles keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Okay. So, yes, and shall not the uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge ye who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law. Now he's saying those that are circumcised are counted as circumcision are the Jews. And he tells them, he says, your brother, you're the transgressors of the law. The circumcised one. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of the Yahweh. So, there you have it. End of Romans chapter 2. We go right on into Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Very much every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of the Yahweh. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of the Yahweh without effect? Yahweh forbid. Yea, let Elohim be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness come in the righteousness of the Yahweh, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Elohim forbid, for then how shall Yahweh judge the world? For if the truth, there's that word truth now, of the Yahweh hath more abounded through my law unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not at rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as one, some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. So how did Paul prove that the Jews and Gentiles were all under sin? Because they didn't accept Yahshua's death on the cross. They didn't accept the offering he made for the sins of the world. Because the offering that he made for the sins of the world was for the dead, from Adam down to cross. But those that were alive at the time of his death, he also made an offering for them. He also made an offering for them. Paul just got to say it, just read it to you. And so I'm going to read that verse 9 again, Romans 3. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Now Paul's talking about he's talking to these Roman Gentiles. He says, what then? Are we better than they? No, and no, in no wise, he says, we're not better than those that rejected Yahshua and the plan of salvation through his blood. No, we're not any better than they. No, in no wise. For we have before, he said, proved. We have before proved. He says, before this time right now that we know better, we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. And what Paul's telling the Romans, he said, before this day, before, we've already proved it before, that both Jew and Gentile, they are under sin. How did we prove that? When we came together for the feast of Passover in times past, after the Romans accepted the truth in times past, he said, we came together. In other words, and we observed the feast of Passover, Pentecost, and the blotting out of sins on the 10th day of the 7th month. So we have proved before. Those that didn't come up to get their counted and to get their sins blotted out and forgiven and purged out by the blood of Yahshua, we have before proved that they're under sin, both the Jew and the Gentile. If they don't come up to keep the feast of the unleavened bread, the Pentecost, the tabernacles, the atonement, in one given year, if they don't appear on any of those days, they are all under sin. We've proven that. That's the only way we can prove it, is whether they appear or not to get their sins blotted out. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after the Yahweh. They are all gone out of the way, they are together, become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, the poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith unto them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before Yahweh. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now we have the caption here above the verse 21 entitled Righteousness by Faith. And this is the name of our series that we are doing. Let's go on now to Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of the Yahweh without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Now, how do you have the righteousness of the Yahweh without the law? Well, you have it because you are under the law of the Spirit of life of Yahshua, which Romans 8, chapter 2 tells us. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Yahshua hath made us free from the law of sin and death. So, what is Paul talking about here in Romans 3:21? Now, the righteousness of Yahweh without the law of sin and death, I added that part, is manifested, being witnessed, by the law of the Spirit of the life in Yahshua and of the prophets. You see how the scripture says here a little and there a little? You go get a scripture here, you get a scripture here, and you put them together. Okay? And it goes on here in Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of Yahweh, which is by the faith of the Yahshua Messiah, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. So what is he saying? All, who is, what are you talking about? He says, all have sinned. He's talking about the Jew and the Gentiles that have rejected the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. He's talking about all those Jews and Gentiles, Sadducees, all of them, collectively. He's talking about those Romans that are ruling over Jerusalem, all of them. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Yahweh. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Yahshua Messiah. So let's read verse 23 and 24 again together without stopping. For all, both Jew and Gentile, at the cross have sinned and come short of the glory of the Yahweh Elohim. Being justified freely by his grace, that they were justified freely by his grace. They were justified freely. All men at the cross. That was a lot. They had an option. They could accept the justification freely by his grace that he offered for all mankind, both for saint and sinner at that time. Through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah. So you see, all of those is offered as justified freely, whom Yahweh has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of Yahweh. So what is he telling, what is Paul telling those Jews and Gentiles that rejected Yahshua? What is he telling them? He's saying, you've been justified freely up to this point by his grace. You've been given a time period in which before probation closes on you. But when you reject this here offer of the redemption through his blood that he's offering right now, then your being justified freely is not going to help you a bit, because you have to go ahead and be sanctified and purified by the blotting out of your sins by the blood that he's going to offer at the atonement 6 months from here, from now, from this point. Because Paul was telling that Yahshua offered that free justification by his grace at the cross. But if they accepted it, then they could have full redemption by forgiveness of their sins through following the sanctuary system that point on, and then come to the atonement in the seventh month, because the Passover was here, his crucifixion was in the first month. Seven months later, was offered pardon and forgiveness and blotting out of their sin. So, being justified freely by his grace. So how long was your grace period then? They had a 6-7 month grace period. From the first month to the seventh month back then. Okay? Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Now he has set forth his son Yahshua. He has set him forth. 4,000 years earlier, he set him forth. 4,000 years ago at the Garden of Eden. Paul is telling these Gentiles. He has set forth Yahshua, his son. when man first fell into sin, he set him forth. So whom Yahweh hath is a past tense, set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So everybody that followed the plan of salvation of the blood of the animal of the law of Moses for 4,000 years from Adam clear down to cross, he said, Yahshua has served as a propitiation through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of the sins that are passed through the forbearance of Yahweh. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in the Yahshua. Whereas boasting then, it is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by the faith without the deeds of the law. Okay, so you can be justified by faith, but you have to be purified and by his blood. Justified by faith to come and proffer of his offering of the blood. That you have to come at the appointed times of the sanctuary, at the 9 o'clock and the 3 o'clock, the dailies. You have to come on the holy days as they're pointed out by the creation calendar, creation time. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one Yahweh which shall justify the circumcision by the faith in the blood of his son Yahshua, and the uncircumcision, the Jews, the Gentiles, through the faith and believing in the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Jews, of the Jewish religion, and the Yahshua. Faith in his blood, as it says right there in Romans 3:25, just read it to you. Do we then make void the law through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, the new and living way, by the blood of the sprinkling, according to Hebrews 10:14, Hebrews 10:20, Hebrews 9:14-15, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Hebrews 12, verse 22-24, that's the end of chapter 3 of Romans. Or is it? Let's see. Maybe we need to back up in here a little bit. Let's read Romans 3, verse 29, 30, and 31, and end that chapter. Is he the Yahweh of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, because the Gentiles are blood brethren and they're kindred. They're kindred of the Jews. It says so in Ephesians chapter 2. Seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision, the Jewish people, and the uncircumcision, the circumcision, the Jewish people, by the faith in the blood of Yahshua, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through the faith. In other words, they have to accept the plan of salvation from the Jews' teaching. The Jews accepted the plan of the salvation from their own prophet, Paul, and Peter, and the rest of them that was teaching the Jews, directed to Yahshua. But the Gentiles have to come and believe their prophets, the apostles, and that's what it's called, through the faith in the blood by the apostles' teaching. Do we then make void the law through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua? Yahweh forbid. Yea, we establish the law. The law of Moses had never been established until Yahshua come and ratified it by his own blood. Then he established the law that you continue to meet on these holy days at the appointed time to receive of the sacrifice of the Son now, because he bleeds daily, fresh, for those who come and accept his proffer of his sprinkling of the blood. It says so right there in Hebrews chapter 12. It says so. Hebrews chapter 12, it says verse 22 to 24. If we can get to it, we'll read it to you right quick. It says, and I beseech you, brethren, or see, Hebrews 12, it says, but ye are coming to Mount Sinai, unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and unto Yahweh, the judge of all, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and unto the Yahshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and unto the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. There it is right there. There's your blood of sprinkling for the new covenant. Okay, that ends chapter 3 of Romans. Let's go right on into chapter 4. It says, what shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining unto the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by the works of the law, of the Moses, he hath whereof to glory, but not for the Father, Yahweh. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed the Yahweh, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the unrighteous, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom the Father imputed righteousness without works. The works he's talking about is the sacrifice of the animals in the place of believing by faith in the blood of Yahshua. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Yahweh will not impute sin. Go to Psalms 32 and get confirmation on that by the David himself. Romans 4:9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, the Jews, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was in the blood of the everlasting covenant was reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in a circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Why wasn't Abraham circumcised on the eighth day? He was born in a Hebrew family. Terah, his father, lived in Babylon with his family, with idolatry all around him. And Terah and Abraham and Terah's family was the only righteous ones in Babylon. Yahweh said, told him to get out of there. You can't serve me here. You're going to have to get out and get into the land that I showed thee. And so Abraham did. Abraham believed Yahweh every step of the way, but how come he had to wait till he was 99 years old to be circumcised? Because Terah, his father, lived among that idolatry in Babylon, and they had gotten away from the purity and the sanctification of the law, no doubt, the practice of it. Because if Abraham was born, he was born into a Hebrew family, and Terah, his father, should have had him circumcised on the eighth day according to the law of Moses. Okay, let's go ahead. Acts 4:12. and the father of circumcision unto them who are not of the circumcision only. Let's read verse 11 again. And he received the sign of circumcision, Abraham, as a seal of the righteousness of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So if we meet a multitude of millions of people out here, and which we are going to meet, are they all going to be circumcised? No. The circumcision is of the heart at this point for the Gentile world and for those that are out there in the midst of idolatry. But if they believe in the truth and want to be sanctified by obedience unto it, then it's counted unto them for circumcision. Circumcision of the heart. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision unto them who are not of the circumcision only, but are, who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. So we now know why Abraham was not circumcised on the eighth day, because Yahweh waited till Abraham was 99 years old, and he gave him the sign of circumcision, that he had set the Jewish Hebrew nation aside, that he had confirmed Abraham as the father of many nations and many people that will come forth in the last days as numberless as the sands of the sea. And Abraham went 99 years without being circumcised because the law of circumcision had not yet been given unto the Hebrew economy until Abraham turned 99 years old, when he had to bring forth the promised spiritual seed, the firstborn of the Spirit, Isaac, to succeed him, and then be the progenitor of the righteous line clear down at the end of time. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not unto Abraham or unto his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. For if they which are of the law be heirs, a faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. That's a good point. Therefore it is of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant that it might be by the grace unto the end. Just like at the cross, they were given a grace period. They had a 6-7 month grace period to accept the truth and be circumcised in the heart and to get their sins blotted out to join the Hebrew economy with the apostles. Verse 16, therefore it is of the faith in the blood, that it might be by the grace, in other words, given a grace period. They exercise their faith first, and then they're given a grace period to get to sanctify their lives. Grace comes at the Passover. Sanctification comes at the Pentecost 7 months later. Unto the end that the promise might be sure unto all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but unto that also which is of the faith. And the blood is of the faith of the Abraham, faith in the blood, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of the many nations, before him whom he believed, even Elohim, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in the hope that he might become the father of many nations according unto that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, Abraham at the age of 99, when he was about 100 years old, when he was approaching 100, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of Yahweh through the unbelief, in the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant, but was strong in the faith in the everlasting covenant, giving glory unto his Father, Yahweh, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, unto whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Yahshua, our Savior, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Okay, we're in Romans chapter 4. Let's go right on into Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, we have peace with the Father, Yahweh, through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace period. Now, that grace period starts at the Passover, and it runs until the 10th day of the 7th month at the Atonement. And stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Yahshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But the Yahweh commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto Yahweh by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in Yahweh through our Savior, Yahshua Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by the one man, sin entered into the world, and death by the sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of the Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also as a free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of the Yahweh. Now again, this grace of the Yahweh and the gift by the grace. What is the gift by the grace? The gift of his Son, Yahshua, which is by one man, Yahshua Messiah, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by the one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by the one unto condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto the justification, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of the grace, and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of the one judgment came upon all men under condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of the one free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. So everybody can avail themselves of that free justification of life. That's a free gift. That's a period of time that you accept, and you go through a process through the sanctuary of getting your sins blotted, remissed and blotted out. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the Messiah, our Savior. That's the end of chapter 5 of Romans, and that's the end of our sermon. Let us close now with a song. Don't let that ship sail by, by the Elijah Day. Don't let that ship sail by. While standing on this shore, for the captain of that mighty ship is standing at the door. He'll welcome all to come aboard. There's room for many more. As the ship sets sail for that harbor lights of that far off the distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by. Don't let that ship sail by. For she has a payload to deliver in the sky. For the saints of all ages are alive. Standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Oh, a dreamed of lighted harbors, silver ships in the sky. And a dreamed of someday sailing to that sweet by and by. Yes, I dreamed about those mansions God has gone to prepare. And I dreamed of someday of meeting my loved ones in the air. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. For the welcome sign reads there, there's room for many more. For the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door. For the welcome call to come aboard destination land and shore. Don't let the ship sail by. Don't let that ship sail by. For she has a payload for the delivery in the sky. For the saints of all ages are lighting her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by.